He invites me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Amen. Brother Joey, lead us in a word of prayer.
Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come back to your house once again. Lord, after such a beautiful service this morning, time fellowship, Lord, we pray that you would continue to fill us with hope this morning, Lord, as a big present in this Sunday school and worship service, Lord. Be with those that bring the lessons and the word, Lord, and those that bring the music. All these things we ask in your Son's holy name.
Amen. Amen. Hang on that book. Look at page 272. Hallelujah, we shall rise. Maybe some bass to sing out on this one right here, Brother Royce. Morning, had a good service this morning, and had 70, I think, this morning, I counted 70 for our sunrise service. What a wonderful time it was to be here, out here under the awning. The weather was great, and if you wasn't here, you missed a blessing. But it's good to be here right now. But let's lift up the ones we need to pray for this morning, and it's good to see Sister Pat. We're going to continue praying for you, and
I wouldn't be able to be here if it wasn't for the prayers of this church and other people. I've had kind of a rough year with surgery and then falling, and I felt prayers of all of you people, and I couldn't have lived if it hadn't been for Jesus Christ rising on that Sunday morning when the prison bars were broken, and he rose from the dead.
Amen.
And I appreciate it, and I love all of you.
Amen. We love you too, Pat. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. But we continue praying for you. And again, it's good to see you. Continue praying for Sister Louise and all the ones in our nursing home. Brother Royce's sister, continue praying for her. And, anyone else you want to lift up in prayer this morning?
Continue to remember the Broom family.
Yes. Yeah. Remember the Broom family. That was a terrible accident. And and remember them. I know that's tough.
And Miss Jeanette that came this morning, she's not doing well, and we just talked to her about it. She was at the sunrise.
Yes, yes.
Thank God. Love is Charles.
Amen. Anyone else who left up in prayer or have a praise?
Well, I want to give thanks this morning. I was watching, sitting at sunrise service this morning, thankful for all the people that come. And a thought struck me this week. I was looking at a cemetery out there. Yeah. Every headstone's facing the east, every one of them. And they're all there sleeping in the blessed expectation. Today, those things are going to pop up.
Yeah.
And they're going to meet the Lord in the air. And I'm so grateful this morning. I was going to ask Brother Chris a question. We talked about this last week. Brother Chris, you have a long musical history. Is there any other single person in the history of the world that's had more songs wrote about him than Jesus?
Oh, no.
Nothing to compare. Powerful. Every song, every note, every moment, today is his day. Today is the day we celebrate that he set us free. I'm so grateful today that I get to celebrate that. Because without him, we'd all be lost.
Amen.
Just giving thanks and giving praise.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Anyone else have a word to, you know, you want to share, you know, your praise or just lift someone up this morning? Again, it is so good to be here. And Brother Mark, he's a prayer warrior.
Yes, he is.
He's a prayer warrior. And, y'all may not know this, but he comes and walks around the church and prays. I'm sure he prayed for all of us. And I believe in the power of prayer, because if it wasn't for a group of ladies praying for me, I don't think I would be here.
Right now. Bless him, Lord.
So thank the Lord for you, Brother Mark. Thank you.
God, he's worthy.
He is worthy. Will you pray for us again, please? You know.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for being here this morning. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you, Lord, that you took every sin, everything we've ever committed, Lord, you took it upon you. Lord, you freed us from bondage. You freed us from the penalty of sin. And you allowed us access back to the Father and into the garden of the Lord. I'm so grateful, Lord. We celebrate you this morning, your resurrection, everything that represents. I pray, O Lord, that your Spirit will be here with us today. Come meet us as we sing, Lord. Your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. As we lift up your name, O Lord, inhabit them. Be with us. Let your Spirit be here, Lord. I pray, Lord, those here in need, if they're in need of healing, if they're in need of freedom from bondage, if they're in need of freedom and the mercy and forgiveness of sin, Lord, that your precious blood will cover it all. Because I know that all things are possible through you. Lord, I thank you and I give you praise. Bless each one here. Bless the Sunday school, Lord. Bless the teachers. Bless the message, Lord. Bless the service later today, all the music. And let us just glorify and praise your holy name. And I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Well, we'll take our classes now.
Thank you.
good Easter morning to everyone. I apologize to Joey, so I'll make it public now. I said, I don't know what I think of a fella that asked you to teach and then didn't show up for your lesson. But I listened to his podcast and the good job that he did. So good to be here this morning, see everyone that's here. Anyone a word before we get started? I also want to thank, you know, most of us got up early for the sunrise service, but there were a few people who got up really early and cooked biscuits. So be sure you tell those people how much we appreciate it. And don't call them this afternoon. They're going to take a nap. We're in the 43rd chapter of Genesis, talking about the life of Joseph. And for our visitors, we're picking up where Jacob's sons have gone into Egypt and gotten one purchase of grain and taken it back. But one of the things that I want us to see in these passages covering Joseph's life is thinking horizontally and not thinking vertically. Thinking horizontally, but not thinking vertically. Horizontal thinking is unstructured. It is seeing events for only what they are individually and just at the moment. Never seeing or never really looking for the bigger picture. If you've ever managed people and you have to tell everybody a new policy or a new way we're going to do things, you'll have half of your employees go, well, how does that affect me? Well, I do it. They never, ever look at the bigger picture of it affecting the whole flow of things. They're just focused in on it. Or there's a problem, and they're so focused on that problem that the thought of coming up with a solution has never crossed their mind. They're just zoomed in on the problem. Isn't that right? Yeah, isn't that right? Yeah, been there, done that, several of you. Jacob was a horizontal thinker. He saw events, he looked at everything that happened in his life, all the problems individually, and never considered there might be a higher power or a higher calling or a higher purpose in what had happened. He never, ever considered that God's hand might be in this. And if you'll notice, he never asked God. We never read where he stopped and said, boy, things are going south, boys. Let's gather up and offer a sacrifice to God and see if we can find out what's going on. He never did that. All he ever said was, why me? Why me? Or we'll see in a minute, he'll blame his sons for the problems. Why me, Bobby?
Oh, that ain't any different from us. That's where you're going. I put my hand back down because I think you're...
Okay.
Right. I think we all know that. That's just okay. Like with us today. Yeah.
Now, vertical thinking is structured thinking. It focuses on the thought of a higher, larger picture. It deals with cause and effect. You can see the forest instead of the individual trees. Now, that would have been Joseph. Joseph had seen in his life that there was a purpose. By now, he had seen there was a purpose in everything that happened. He now realized that God had sent these things and directed his life so that he could spare life for an entire nation and actually for his own family. He realized God had put him there and why he'd put him there. He focused on the how. Pharaoh, here's what we can do. Well, even back before that, when he's in prison, I'll do my very best, and his integrity, he always rose up, didn't he? The cream rose to the top everywhere Joseph went. He was able to see, and oh, there were dark days. Don't ever think that. He's human like we are. The why me, Lord? But I think by now he realized God had prepared him almost his whole life for this calling, to preserve life and his family. Now, one other character that I think really describes horizontal and vertical thinking is Job. After everything that had happened to Job, a bunch of his flocks had been killed and family had been died, and he said he arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and whined and questioned God. Said he worshiped. He worshiped. And said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. And I'll throw a word in here, regardless. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. And one other real contrast in the next chapter. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. See her thinking horizontally? This has all happened. Curse him, die. Forget it. Why me, Lord? But he said, what? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? He saw a bigger picture that he was in God's hand,
sure,
for better or for worse. Yeah. So as we study Job, think of the contrast of Job. As we study Joseph, think of the contrast of the different ways of thinking. Horizontally, the big, or vertically, the big picture. All right. 43rd chapter and the first verse, it says, and the famine was sore in the land, or in all the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. You ever heard the expression, there's an elephant in the room? I struggle for an example of this, and I finally came up with one. We all had Christmas at Aunt May's house. Okay? Every year. The kids came, presents. We gathered at Aunt May's house. She'd always have stuff to eat and fix. So we all gather around the table, and she brings out the turkey, and she hadn't cooked it. It's raw. And everybody starts looking at each other. Then finally somebody speaks up and says, would you pass the mashed potatoes, please? And this one starts talking about, and they all beat around the bush, because nobody wants to say to Aunt May, you didn't cook the turkey. But that was the elephant in the room. And you know, in business, they show the table and everybody's sitting around it, and there's this great big elephant sitting in the middle table, and nobody wants to mention it. I can't help but think that every time Jacob and the families, you know, and there was more than just Jacob and the 11 sons, they had families. You know, in patriarch times, you almost would call it a tribe or a clan. They all lived relatively close, but the boss was the oldest. That's why the firstborn was so important. He would take that position from the father to basically be the quote, king of the tribe, and everything went through him. And I can't think, is every time they sat down to eat, the elephant in the room, which nobody talked about, we can't go back to Egypt without Benjamin, and we're running out of corn. But nobody's going to say anything. So I just happened, and every week or every day, there was less corn, less grain. But oh, the elephant's going to sit on that kitchen table while they, or that dining room table while they all eat. And it was said in one place, the famine was so sore they neither planted nor reaped. And I thought, well, why didn't they even plant? Well, if you're hungry enough, what you going to eat? Your seed corn. See, either eat the seed corn or die. So they didn't have anything to plant for the next year. This is how grievous the famine was. Because, you know, you always, when you plant a crop, you save the, just a little bit for next year to plant. But they didn't even have that. They'd eaten that. And Jacob would have sent them back to Egypt without Benjamin. Y'all just go buy some more. And bless his heart, in verse 3, Judah took a big swallow and stood up and said, "Hey, Dad. Listen, Dad. The man, yeah, the man, Joseph, the man, told us, he did solemnly protest unto us, saying, 'You shall not see my face except your brother be with you.'" Dad, we've told you this 100 times, okay? Let's address the elephant in the room after all this time. Dad, we can't go back without Benjamin. "If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down." Finally, Judah had some backbone here against Dad. We're not going without Benjamin. It's a wasted trip. "For the man said unto us, 'Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" And you almost see Jacob saying, and he meant it. He said it directly to us, point blank. "Dad, we can't go without Benjamin, and we're running out of food." Let me slow down. Anybody a word? I get carried away up here.
We wonder what Benjamin's like.
Yeah. Well, what's Simeon thinking right now? He's still back in jail in Egypt.
Yeah.
How long a time was that? Yeah.
You know what he's thinking? He's thinking, "Dad's not going to let him run Benjamin."
Yeah. After I'm toast. And what is Joseph thinking? Will they hang Simeon out to dry like they did me? Yeah. So, yeah, you got a lot of moving parts here.
Simeon's thinking, at least I get fed here or something.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine Simeon was taken quite well care of. I'm sure the man in charge of the jail or wherever he was had some pretty specific instructions for Simeon. Yeah. But still, he knew what his brothers were capable of. Yeah. All right. Anyone else? Anyone else have a good example of an elephant in the room? Nobody?
We would discuss taking my mother's car keys away.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one. Okay.
We did too. That was a rough little trip.
Okay, verse 6. And Jacob, or as his name was also Israel, said, "Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had a had yet a brother?"
I told him he wouldn't have known.
It's your fault. Why did you do it? See where he's thinking?
Blaming them.
Blaming his sons. Y'all, what point did it matter now? The word's out, if you don't have Benjamin, you're not getting any grain. But he's going to dump on them for his frustration and ask, "Why did you?" There's that word again, why. Why did you
do this to me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, why did you do this to me?
You sound like the sons took their self-centeredness right after Jacob.
Yeah. Yeah. And then notice though in verse 7, after Judah spoke up, the other brothers got some courage. somebody had finally pointed and said, there's an elephant in the room. And everybody else, oh man, finally, we can talk about this. And they said, the man asked us strictly of our state and of our kindred, saying, is your father yet alive? Have you another brother? He asked them, we would say he asked us point blank. That's the phrase we'd use. Specifically about our father, and do we have any more brothers? And we told him, according to the tenure of these words, and the way he said it, we thought we better answer it right. His tone, that's a good word there. The tone of his voice. We certainly know that he would say, could we certainly know that he would say, bring your brother down? Dad, how do we know he was going to say, bring Benjamin down here? We just answered his questions, and they were pretty pointed. And Judah said unto Israel his father, now, I'm starting to like Judah. First of all, he stood up with Dad and said, hey, Dad, wake up, Dad. Verse 8, and Judah said to Israel his father, send the lad with me. Interesting, he called him lad. Young. And I guess they were the two youngest. Yeah. Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety. I'll take responsibility. Yeah. I will be surety of him. Of my hand shall thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. I'll take the route. Not any other brothers, Jews. I'll take the fall. That's a rarity, isn't it? Yeah. To step up and say, I'll be responsible and I'll take the consequences if it falls through. So I'm liking Judah now. And then he throws a little sucker punch and says, for except we'd lingered here watching this elephant in the room, we could have been twice and back by now. Surely we had returned the second time. Yeah. It's only a 10-day round trip. So let's say they're a day there and getting the grain. 2-week trip at best. Or at worst. Yeah. Dad, if you happen to sit here twiddling your thumbs, not letting Benjamin go, we'd went and got more twice. We'd be doing all right. But now here we're back to the horizontal thinking, and their father Israel said unto them, if it must be so, if there's not any way in the world I can get around this, do this. He's come up with a plan. A plan that he's used before. He had a pretty big spat with his brother. We won't go into the details, but he found out his family was about to meet his brother's family. And remember what he did? He sent gifts out in front. Yeah. So he'd done this before with Esau. Take of the best fruits in the land in your vessels and carry down the man. I love how it keeps calling him the man. A present, a little balm and a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And from what I can read, those were things that were not in Egypt. These grew only up near the fertile land of the Jordan River. They don't grow in sand. And take.
Had them put back because there was a famine in the land.
Yeah.
They must have had
them. But they couldn't have any biscuits. No cornbread.
That's what I was thinking. I say, well, if he's got all that, then they really were okay.
Well, let's see. I don't imagine I'd want to eat balm or spices or myrrh, so they had a few things.
Yeah.
and take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Pre-adventure, it was just an oversight. But he never, ever asked God what to do, did he? Never. He said, well, let's see. This worked last time. I'll try it again this time. Yeah.
Then when something goes wrong, we always ask God, why did you let this happen? Why didn't you warn me about this? And then God says, why didn't you ask?
Yeah. I'd have told you if you just asked me. Yeah. So in a word, verse 13, 14, just about going to wrap us up. Take also your brother and arise, go again unto the man. And for just a fleeting moment, Jacob's going to think vertically here. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. But after he got that out, he fell back to horizontal thinking. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. So, had a little glimpse there of a bigger picture that God could get involved in this. But then he's right back in the horizontal. In one word, I'm rambling bad this morning, I'm sorry.
I got a word. How many times have we left a spirit-filled service at church? I mean, if we wasn't on the mountaintop, we was closed. And then before the afternoon is over with, something happens and we're right back in the muddy grubs. I don't know if that's happened to any of y'all, but it has me. Brother Steve preached at the association one year about how God could take us from 0 to 200 that quick. And I'm glad he can, because we can go from 200 to 0 that quick on our own.
All right, we'll try to knock out just a couple, three more verses. So the men or the brothers took their present, they took double money in their hand, and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Wouldn't you love to heard some of the campfire discussions on the way from Canaan to Egypt?
Oh, there's no trust in what the man's going to do. Put their money back in the bag. What's he setting them up for? You know, he's going to set us up as spies, and we're all going to be stuck in Egypt.
Yeah. I just love to hear those conversations, because it was a five-day journey. That's four nights.
You know, and all the brothers, do they really trust each other? Each one of them, you know, each one of them sell me out at any time.
And of course, the elephant in the room there is, what's Joseph going to do? Or what's the man going to do? Yeah, what's the man going to do when we go back down there? This didn't turn out real well the first time.
One of the most interesting things about this to me is the fact that Joseph knows what they're saying. When they're talking amongst each other, but they don't know that he knows what they're saying. So, you know, they are being blatantly honest with themselves, thinking that he don't know what we're saying.
Yeah.
And all along, he does.
Verse 16, and when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house, and the brothers were afraid, because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, yep, it's because of the money that was turned in our sacks the first time we came in, or first time we were brought in, that he may seek occasion against us, to befall us, and take us for bondmen and our asses. What a time to worry about the donkeys. You know? Here he's got one of our brothers in prison. We're down here. He's invited us into this little small room. He's going to make us slaves. And worse than that, he's going to take our donkeys. That just jumped out at me.
That's all they had.
That's true. That was their car back home, wasn't it? Yeah. I guess you're right, Bobby. All right. That's probably going to be a good stopping place. It's about 15 till. Make sure we have plenty of time this morning. Does everybody see what I mean by the horizontal and vertical thinking? Because I don't know if you've thought about it or not, but if you're a Christian, God's still working on you till the day we die. Yeah. And somebody asked me one time, I don't know, they were really reluctant to do something in their life. It was actually a lady. And I finally asked her, I said, well, are you going to make God beat you over the head with a 2x4 to do it? Yeah. God's pushing this whole time. He's pushing this family into Egypt to preserve them. And an even bigger picture, so through Moses, he can bring them out. And the Passover, and all that that goes with the Exodus.
It's all in a plan.
It's all in a great big plan. Yeah. And if there's not a plan for each person in this building right now, in God's plan, I'm dead wrong about it. Yeah. I'm dead wrong about it. Well, they're getting at it back there, aren't they? That's sounding good. Yeah. I'm going to stop there. Anybody else a word this morning?
When you talk about that younger brother, Michael. And then the miracles he'll do when you preach on that path. Now, give me that younger brother. You want me to trust him. And you call to him. The mountain shall move. The water shall fall. The miracles he'll do for you.
And the thing is about Job, Brother Michael, you mentioned him. Job didn't feel like he was owed anything. And that's our problem today. We feel like we're owed anything. Everything. We feel like it ought to be ours. If we realize what we have is what God has blessed us with, and truly He has ownership of everything, it takes a whole lot of pressure off of us.
Doesn't it, though? Yeah. There's a place, and I don't remember right off where it's at in the scriptures, where the prophet said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. Mm-hmm. Though he'll slay me, yet I'll serve him. That's how Christians make it through life. It's because we realize there's a bigger picture in this. There's a bigger hand on our life, or maybe under our life. Yeah, it's God. That's why we don't just totally shipwreck when trials of life come. Yeah. Yeah. We live in a fallen world, don't we? But we can look back. And that is one thing, one of the good things about getting older, besides retiring. You can look back in your own life and see where God got you through something. Yeah. How that when you leaned on Him, it wasn't easy, but it worked out. It worked out. Yeah. Well, I appreciate everybody's help this morning, and maybe we'll get the kids to come out and sing. Yeah.
Good lesson.